So, as I said, we have a couple of baptisms today, and one of the things that we find it useful to do is sometimes pre-record the little bit of testimony. So, Philip's going to play that now. I think it's about 8 minutes long, and then we're going to pray for the guys. Don has some scriptures for them, and then we'll listen to God's word before we go outside, because it won't be raining by the time we get out, May. And we'll do our baptism outside. Thank you, Philip.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Well, hi everybody, I have Oscar with me today who's getting baptized, and often I find it a little bit easier for people if we pre-record a little bit of their story rather than having to do it on the day when everyone's nervous. So, Oscar, tell us a little bit about your upbringing in faith and your early childhood and what life was like for you.
I was always a person that was a bit more sensible than others. And that happens to be an inheritance from my mom's side of the family. So I always grown up in the presence of God, as everybody in the family was Christian.
Especially and where was that, Oscar? Because it wasn't Crawley.
No, yeah, it was in Italy. I'm from Sicily.
And your upbringing was around a godly family and around church?
Yes, I always grown up in that environment, and I actually never left it.
So in terms of kind of coming to your own place of faith in Christ, because of course we can grow up in a godly family, but one of the things about baptism is it's a personal decision you're making. So how did you come to that place of coming to faith in Christ, first of all?
If you're asking on my coming to the decision of following Jesus, that was there for a long time, but there was at some point everything snapped on. Because we were in church, and then the pastor was preaching for the new people, because in that day there were a lot of new people. And at some point he gone like, if you want to follow Christ, why are you waiting? Just say yes now, because you might not have another occasion. Or maybe this is just the day that Jesus is telling you, now is the time, come with me. Because, you know, as the Bible says, Jesus to multiple people said, well, if you want to follow me, leave everything you have and just follow me. I don't exactly remember where that is located, but I do remember that line.
Yep, yep.
And then I felt like he was speaking with me, so I did it.
Excellent. And so that was quite some time ago, but today you're getting baptized and you feel it's important. Can you explain why that is for you?
Because it is an act of obedience. It is a lifetime that, especially my mom is telling me that I haven't done a choice. So now I'm doing a practical act to show everybody that I actually did. And not only that, because it's since I'm 14 or 15 that I actually want to get baptized, but because in Italy there's a lot of drama involved with churches, so we were bumping from one another, and there wasn't a place that I was staying for more than a bunch of weeks. And I found one here, so I said, well, maybe that is the time of doing it.
Okay, well, we're glad you feel part of the church here, part of New Life Fellowship, and we're looking forward to baptizing you. So God bless you. Thank you for sharing that, and I look forward to putting you under the water. Well, good morning, Sonia. It's nice to have you with us, and you're going to be baptized today. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of your background and how faith worked for you growing up?
Well, growing up, I grew up in Crawley, and my mum always had a faith, a very private faith, although non-practicing. So we had God as a person in our lives. And then my first real experience of going to church was a very traditional church, and I remember them putting the baskets around, and I took an envelope out and I went home and went, look, the church gave me 20 quid, Mum. She's like, you have to go and give that back. I'm like, no. So I have to apologise for that one, God. I did actually spend the money. And then I met my my first husband when I was young, and his family were very Christian, and I joined the church and became quite close to the church and was doing groups and everything. And I confirmed, because I was Christian as a child, but then confirmed when I was about 18 or 19, I confirmed. But I was not really into it. It was just something you did. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and then that relationship was not a good one. So I kind of just left that and left church and went through about 20 years of my life just having turned my back on God completely. I didn't pray, I didn't ask for anything. I just kind of almost thought he didn't exist. And then I was moving over to Northern Ireland, and it was just like everything I was looking at didn't work. And then suddenly, for no reason, something that almost seemed impossible happened, and we were offered a house with no points on this, on the housing estate. And I was like, okay, we're meant to be. This is meant to be, and this is God telling us it's meant to be. And I found a church over there and started like going to church, and but I didn't feel God in that church. I felt that it was a very judgy church, and it was a church for people, not a church for God. Mm-hmm. And I kind of left, but I met a friend through baby group, and we did the Alpha group and things like that, and just generally we would talk a lot about God, and very close friendship came. And we would always do, I always used to say, I just don't know how to pray. I just don't know what praying is. And I would tell her, and I tell her, my general way of praying is I just talk. There's no kind of rhyme or reason. I just say what's on my mind. And she kind of affirmed to me that actually is what God wants. Mm. He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want, you know, unsincere words or anything like that. He just wants you to just be yourself. And once I realised that, I started to just kind of just chat with him. And I've never really stopped chatting with him, but hadn't found another church. Unfortunately, my marriage was starting to break down. There was issues in it, and I needed to leave very quickly. And the first thing, as soon as I made the decision to leave, I was like, had this notion that God was telling me I had to find a church. Mm-hmm. And so I looked on all the churches in Crawley. I listened to a few sermons and things like that. And as soon as I kind of clicked on this and started listening, it was like God telling me this is where I'm meant to be. And so I came, the first week I came home, I came into church on the Sunday, and I was right. God was here. The second I walked through the door, I could feel God. I could see God in the people. The people weren't here for... because they have to be. Mm. It's because this is where they feel close to God, and it's nice to come together and feel welcomed and worship God together. So then I've had a few times in my life where baptisms come up and I was going to, and I just couldn't. I just didn't feel it. And then an email came round about baptism, and it was almost like God tapping me on the back going, come on, it's time now. And I was like, okay, I'll obey. And so that's why I'm here.
And that's a great answer, because I remember sending that email and Sonia responded very quickly and said, this is the right time. It is an act of obedience. I want to make this commitment in following Jesus. So as we say, as a church, we have a culture of grace where people are on that journey, whatever stage they're at, it's about saying yes to God. So we're glad that we're going to be able to baptize you in a few minutes. And so we're going to continue with the service and do our baptism in the pool outside afterwards. So God bless you. We're glad you're here, and we're glad the girls are here with us as well.
Thank you.
So guys, if you'd like to come up front, I'd like to give you a baptism card and a little certificate. It'll get wet if we do it later, so... especially come now. Dawn, if you'd like to come as well. Sonia, that's for you and you guys. So Dawn has a scripture, and then we're going to pray for you both.
Hi. Sonia, this is the scripture the Lord has given me to give to you. I hope it will be a blessing to you. It's from the book of Habakkuk in chapter 3. And it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive tree may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Amen. That's the scripture the Lord gave me. Oscar, when Pastor Dave asked me to do a scripture for you, the very moment he asked me, this scripture popped into my mind, and I just couldn't get rid of it, and I just feel I have to share it with you this morning. It's from Isaiah chapter 43, and it says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Amen.
Amen. Well, Grace, why don't you come and pray for these guys as they are going to be... Yeah, you. Yeah. Don't look so shocked. Pray for them. Don, just put your hand on Sonia's shoulder, please, as we pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your loving kindness. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. Father, Lord, I thank you for Oscar, and I thank you for Sonia. Father, your word says in Isaiah 43, from verse 19, he said, "Behold, I am doing a new thing, and now it shall spring forth. Don't forget about the former things. I will make a pathway in the wilderness, a river in the desert." Father, Lord, I thank you for this new beginning in their lives, O Lord. And as they follow you, as they get baptized, Lord, it will be a new beginning on everything, on every side for them, in the mighty name of Jesus. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. And as they go forth, they go with your word, they go with your glory, and they go in your light. Thank you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Grace. Bless you guys. You can be seated. Kerry's going to give out some of the activity packs. The activity packs that we give out are fit in with the theme of what we're doing every week. There may even be enough for some of the adults as well, I think. So they'll start to do that. So I'm going to pray just as we look at God's word together, and if you give me your attention for 15 minutes before the baptism. So Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimonies we've heard already of people responding in obedience to you, going through this act of faith. It's the pledge of a good conscience towards you. And Father, we pray that your blessing will be on them. We pray that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit, and for each of us, that we would respond today as we hear your word, as we listen, and as we obey. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an old country and western song that was done in a bit of tongue-in-cheek, and this is what it says. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble." Imagine it in a country and western kind of twang. I'll not sing for you, because clearly some people don't like that. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror," some of you are singing it, "'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." Some of you may know that old song, and a bit tongue-in-cheek, because truthfully, we all know we're flawed individuals, don't we? We all know that no perfect people are allowed. And this week on Facebook, one of the little videos I did and the post I put up was about this Sunday and about the title of this message, that we're a church where no perfect people are allowed, John. Because none of us are. And if you're looking for a perfect church, you better go somewhere else. And if you're a perfect person looking for a perfect church, I would advise you not to go at all, because you'll spoil it. You will spoil it, trust me. Because we're all flawed, aren't we? We're all imperfect. We all need God's grace. And that's some of the things that we're following as we do this stream, as we're following this super book. It's a super book because of what God does, not because of the individuals. Because they're constantly getting it wrong. And this week we're going to look very briefly at Jacob and Esau. Look at some of the lessons that we can learn. We can learn that God can use anybody. Because so often we disqualify ourselves, don't we? We put the limits on ourselves. We look at our history. We look at our education. We look at our experience. We look at our background. And we disqualify ourselves. And we think we're never going to make it. We're not good enough. All of the other people in the church are much better Christians than I am. And they're thinking the same about you. And we think, well, how can God use me? But that's the story of Jacob and Esau. God can use anybody. In fact, it's amazing that God would use Jacob. Because if you know anything of his history, he was the arch deceiver. He was the arch manipulator. And yet, 12 times in the scriptures, it says that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, Abraham, I can understand. He was the person of faith. He's the father of faith. He's the one through whom many nations were blessed. So we can understand, because God credited to him his faith as righteousness. It was how he was made right with God. Isaac, we can understand, because he followed God and the 12 tribes came from his lineage. But Jacob, would you put Jacob in the history of the Messiah? Well, God did. Maybe it's a helpful reminder to us that we don't have to be perfect for God to use us. Maybe it's a helpful little reminder that we don't have to always have great faith or be in that great history or have that great lineage or ancestry. That God uses people who are imperfect to serve his kingdom. See, God works against all expectations in choosing Jacob. There's no way we would have chosen Jacob. There's no way we would have even wanted him as our brother. And this is the constant trend in Scripture. Look at the people God uses. Rahab. For the sake of children, you adults will understand, she was a lady of the night. She had a very dodgy character, but God used her and the line of the Messiah comes through. What about Noah? He got drunk and if you know the early chapter of Genesis, he didn't behave himself very well. What about David? Not only did he commit adultery, he committed murder. What about Moses? He had a few skeletons in the cupboard, didn't he? We'll look at Moses next week. What about Ruth? She had nothing to speak of, but God used her. What about Peter? He only ever opened his mouth to change feet. What about Paul? The greatest leader of the early church. He was a persecutor of the church. And yet God turned him around. So folks, please, I really want to encourage you as we think about this. No perfect people are allowed. Because it's not simply about you. It's about God's work in you. God chooses what is weak to demonstrate the ultimate power that he has. You see, salvation isn't about our expertise. It isn't about our mastery of some hidden knowledge. It's about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And baptism is the symbol of that. It's the pledge of a good conscience. It's people are saying, I am going to follow in this act of obedience. I am going to follow Jesus. And if you listen to the videos, you heard the song that was playing underneath. I have decided to follow Jesus. Maybe for some of you, you need to reaffirm that commitment. That commitment to follow Jesus, despite being imperfect. Because we're so easy to criticize ourselves, aren't we? We're so easy to condemn ourselves, and we have that negative conversation in our mind. But as we recognize how God works through Jacob, flawed and troublesome as his life was, God comes to us in the same way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29 says this. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the eyes or in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they're wise. And he chose those things that are powerless to shame those that are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. And see, that's where we're all the same. That's where we all need grace, because none of us can come and say, well, of course, God, I've done this, I have this, you have to accept me. We are all the same needing God's grace, because apart from him, we are nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. He didn't choose us because we were clever. Think about it this way. Could an unexpected blessing come from someone in your life who you've written off? Could an unexpected blessing come from someone you think isn't perfect? It did through the life of Jacob. And maybe you are that unexpected blessing to someone else. Second thing that we learn is that we learn that God can bring reconciliation. He did it with Jacob and Esau. Jacob was terrified of meeting Esau again. He was terrified. In fact, he sent loads of gifts ahead of him to make a way. He was unsure of what the years had done. Maybe it had made Esau that little bit more bitter, that little bit more resentful. But actually, the story is wonderful in reconciliation. But I want to say to you that there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. And people often misunderstand this. Forgiveness, when someone hurts you or offends you, you have to do for your benefit. You have to. Otherwise, you get resentful. Otherwise, you get bitter. Otherwise, you get entrapped. And it's like drinking poison but expecting the other person to die. You have to forgive for your sake. And Jesus says, if you don't forgive, then your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. They're troubling words. But that's what Jesus said. So we have to forgive. And we can't wait until we feel like forgiving. We have to forgive. But reconciliation is not the same as forgiveness. Reconciliation can only occur when the other person is willing to admit their part. When the other person is willing to say, do you know what? I was wrong too. I forgive you. I want to be restored in relationship. And reconciliation is not saying that we put ourselves in places of danger or in places of abuse when the other person is not willing to change. And sometimes I've heard, and I've even heard it from pastors who've said to people, no, you have to stay in that situation because you're a Christian. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I don't believe the Bible teaches us that we should stay in abusive or violent relationships or anything like that because we're Christian. That's not the same. Forgiveness and reconciliation are different. But I do want to say to you that maybe God can soften a heart. It may not be immediate. It may not be overnight, and there was years in this intervening. But turn with me to Genesis 32. So it's an easy one to find, Genesis 32, and you'll see exactly what Jacob felt. Genesis 32, and this is Jacob's prayer to God, because he knew the dangerous situation he was going to place himself in. Let's pick up at verse 9. Jacob prayed. Genesis 32. O God of my grandfather Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord, you told me, return to your own land, return to your relatives, and you promised me I will treat you kindly. I am not worthy of all the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown to me, your servant. When I left home across the river Jordan, I owned nothing except a walking stick. Now my household fills two large camps. O Lord, please rescue me from the hand of my brother Esau. I am afraid that he is coming to attack me along with my wives and children. But you promised I will surely treat you kindly, and I will multiply your descendants until they become as numerous as the sand on the seashore, too many to count. And then Genesis 33, verse 4, later in the story. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they both wept. Wow, what an incredible encounter. What an incredible reconciliation. It kind of brings to mind the story of Joseph. Remember when Joseph's brothers came back and how they treated him badly? But God brought that reconciliation, and Joseph had the opportunity to be unkind to them, be cruel as a ruler in the land. But he said, you intended it for evil, but God intended it for good. God can work in those situations. I don't know the growth that occurred on Esau after the loss of his blessing. Scripture doesn't tell us, but somehow God softened his heart. Somehow God worked in those circumstances so that there could be reconciliation. It reminds me of the story of Paul. Remember when John Mark deserted him? And Paul wouldn't take him on a secondary missionary journey. But later on in Timothy, he says, listen, John Mark is useful for me in ministry. Make sure he comes. Who knows what happened in those intervening years? Who knows what happened in those times? And folks, I know that some of you will be sitting here with relationships that are not reconciled, with relationships that are unresolved. And please, as I said earlier, I'm not asking you to go back into abusive situations. I'm not asking you to put yourself at risk. You do need to forgive. But reconciliation maybe can occur. Maybe God can soften that heart. Maybe a phone call, maybe an email, maybe something can happen that begins to build that bridge of relationship. Why not? Do we believe God is a supernatural God? Do we believe that God is a God of the impossible? Then maybe he can do that. Maybe he's able to bring that reconciliation where we think it's impossible. One of the things in the packs today, and if you're adults, you can have them as well, there's little postcards that the kids can do. Kids, I see some of you are already colouring them in. Anyone doing the We Miss You? Some of them doing them. What one are you doing? Are you doing that one? What one are you doing, Marcelin? Are you doing the nice flowery one? Well, one of the ones that's in there says We Miss You. And maybe even kids, as you're off school, maybe there's a friend that you're missing. Maybe you can write a little message. Thank you, that's nice and colourful. Maybe you can put a stamp on it, write an address, get your mum to put it through a letterbox to say someone, maybe we miss you. Maybe it's for someone, thank you, darling. Maybe it's for someone that you need to say sorry to. Maybe it's for someone to say, do you know what? We're thinking about you. I believe that God is a God of restoration. I believe that God is a God of reconciliation. Now, the thing is, it doesn't always depend on you. And it's not always possible. But Scripture says, where possible, live at peace with all men. Where possible. And I want to encourage you, for some of you, you might need to take that first step. You might need to be the one who says, I'm sorry. You might need to be the one that sends that card or that email or that text or that phone call. But you know what? God can bring reconciliation in. We're not perfect people, but God can do something in our life. Let's move on. Final lesson I think we learn from Jacob is that God can use our struggles to grow us. You see, so many people think that following Jesus means a trouble-free life. It doesn't, does it? Jesus never promised that himself. In fact, he said, in this world you will have trouble. But the second half of that verse says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. So we can be overcomers. We can have victory. We can get to that place of faith, even in the midst of troubles. It's not a trouble-free existence. It wasn't for Jacob. And if you read the New Testament, it wasn't for Jesus. It wasn't for Paul. It wasn't for Peter. It wasn't for James. The whole New Testament is full of people who we're obeying God, we're faithful, but Hebrews says they didn't inherit what they promised, but they were still believing. They were still pressing on towards that prize. They still believed that God was possible. And one of the things we learn from the story of Jacob is that when he came to Bethel and he's having to wrestle with God in Genesis 30, in verse 17 he says, in the middle of his wrestle, surely God is in this place. Surely God is in this place. And I want to say to you, God is in the place even of your struggles. God is in the place even of your wrestles. God is in the place even with your uncertainty. Don't give up. Don't give in to the lies of the enemy. Keep pushing and say to God, I will not let you go until you bless me. Because sometimes it's in the struggles that you find your greatest encounter with God. Jacob did. Jacob was never perfect. Jacob was never flawless. He always had that limp. He always had that reminder of that encounter with God. He always had that reminder of his background. There was rivalry, favoritism, deception, anger. The account of Jacob and Esau testifies to a God who's continually working with imperfect people. Does that give you hope this morning? Does that give you some encouragement that God can use even me? That God can use even you? That's the truth of what we learned today. There are no perfect people. God can use anybody. He even used a donkey. God can use anybody. God can bring reconciliation, but certainly it will start with forgiveness. And God can use our struggles to grow us. As we said earlier, part of our culture at New Life Church is no perfect people are allowed. That means we have a culture of grace. That means whatever stage you are in your journey, we want to welcome you. We accept you. As you may have noticed, we will challenge you to move on. We will encourage you to move on. Isn't that right, Oscar? Even if that means a little bit of a truck of encouragement to get to the place of baptism. Whatever it takes, we will challenge you. But it's a culture of grace where we say, God loves me as I am, but he loves me too much to leave me the way I am. I wonder what you're looking for as you follow Christ. Philip is going to play this little video. Then we're going to come and pray, and then we're going to get ready for baptism. Thank you, Philip.
This video is brought to you by Unbound. Want to do college better? Get Unbound today. When you look out the window, what are you looking for? As you drive by, the world flies by, and you know why. It feels so familiar to be searching for God knows what, or at least you hope he does, because even with so much to see outside, inside, you have no idea what you seek. What are you looking for? When you open your phone and scroll through your feed, what are you looking for? Are you looking to be inspired or looking to compare? Are you looking to get liked, or are you looking to be loved, for something that gives life or something that keeps you numb? Are you actually looking to be fed or only led to believe that you'll feel full and instead you leave every time still starving? When you look at your friends, what are you looking for? Are you looking to impress or looking to invest? Are you looking to be well-liked, or are you looking to love well? Are you looking for skimming the surface of shallow relationships, or are you looking for a deep dive into the true unity of real community? What are you looking for? When you look at your future, are you looking for fear, or are you looking through faith? Are you looking to climb higher or go deeper? More surrender or more success? Greater trust or greater stress? Are you looking for the next thing for you or a new thing from God? When you look to God, what are you looking for? Are you looking to prove yourself? Looking to measure up? Are you looking to show how good you are or experience how great He is? Are you just looking for the good gifts that God gives? Someone who can give you what you want? Or are you searching for more? Someone who can show you who you are? When you go to church, what are you looking for? Are you looking to get something or give yourself? Are you looking for a good feeling or a God encounter? Do you seek more insight, more information, more inspiration? Are you looking to know all of the answers, or are you looking to be known in the midst of your questions? Are you looking for a way to get to heaven, or a way to get heaven here? When you look in the mirror, what are you looking for? Are you looking for things to fix? All the times you've fallen short, all the ways you're not enough, are you just looking for mistakes? Or are you looking for a grace that covers mistakes? Are you looking for someone who you can at least like? Or are you looking at someone who is already loved? When you look, what are you looking for?
Yeah, Father, we thank you that when we look at you, we see a God of grace. We see a God of mercy. We see a God who loves us and who longs us to bring us into that greater encounter, that greater place of surrender with you. So, Father, I pray for those watching online, those watching on Catch Up, those who are here present, that we would respond and surrender, just as we do with baptism, where we have to surrender and trust those who are baptizing us as they take us under the water and bring us up again. May we grow in our encounter and our trust of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, Adriana was going to move the camera, and we're going to take it so those of Oscar's family and others who are watching can continue to watch the stream. I'm going to nip into the Holy of Holies and get changed ready for baptism. That's the office, in case you're wondering. And we'll get changed. Philip's going to play a song, beautiful song called Pour Out My Heart. And it talks about the fact that wherever we are with God, that we can be honest with Him, that we can pour out our heart to Him, that we can tell Him what we're at. Now, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to this song, as you're watching, and you'll be able to re-watch it on the stream later as well, to do some business with God today, to really get to that place of saying yes to God and allowing Him to do the work that He wants to in your life. So thank you, Philip, and I'll be back in a moment.
Say that you're under.
If you want to start making your way outside, that would be great, into the corner. I will be taking this outside with me so that those on the stream could hear. I know you won't hear it outside. So we will do ladies first. Okay, Oscar first.
Whatever suits you.
Okay, so if you want to get in, Oscar.
Okay.
Now, where's your towel?
In there.
Where in there?
In my backpack.
Okay. Can someone get that for you? Because you'll be wet in a moment.
Sorry, I forgot.
Yeah. It's amazing how many times you have to remind people they should bring a towel with them. Because people do forget at baptisms, believe it or not. And also the fact that they'll need the towel as soon as they get baptized. So Keegan's just a way to get that, so... Excellent. So Keegan's going to come in with me. So if you stand more in the middle. Oh, this is positively warm.
I actually thought worse.
I've had worse, trust me. Come in. So as you've seen on the stream already, or those of you who have been present, you've heard a little bit of Oscar's testimony. He recognized that it's finally an act of obedience. Time, just come a little bit forward. And because of that, Oscar, I want you to just place your hands up. Kind of hold your hands together. Yep, and we'll, Keegan and I will grab on there. Okay. So, Oscar, on confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to pray. Father, we thank you for this act of obedience that Oscar has done. We pray that this week he'll have a real encounter with you, a real encounter with your Holy Spirit. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, that he might just live fully for you, strong in battle. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry, Kerry, yep. We will bring you back up again. We've not lost anyone yet. So again, Sonia, on confession of your faith, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much. If anyone hasn't been baptized, we always throw this out here. Yeah, take your sandal with you, Kerry. If anyone hasn't been baptized, and on hearing the testimony and seeing it today, I'm in the water. This is your chance. No? Okay, well, God bless you. Thank you for watching on the stream. Thank you to all Oscar's family and those who've been watching from different parts of the world. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.